Apple Card is the perfect cash back rewards card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
This is episode number 1201 with multi-time Olympic gold medalist Shaun White.
Welcome to the School of Greatness. My name is Lewis Howes, former pro athlete turned lifestyle entrepreneur. And each week we bring you an inspiring person or message to help you discover how to unlock your inner greatness. Thanks for spending some time with me today. Now let the class begin.
Welcome back, my friend. Today's guest is the incredible Shaun White. He is a dual sports professional athlete who maintains some of the highest accolades within snowboarding and skateboarding. Despite being born with a heart defect, Shaun has earned numerous titles and victories, such as 3 Winter Olympic gold medals, and is the only athlete to receive 2 perfect 100 scores during competition. He holds the X Games record for the most gold medals with 15 and the highest overall medal count to date with 23. In this episode, we discuss how to stay energized when you're pursuing things at the highest level, how to think about having a champion's mindset and dealing with self-doubt, Shaun's approach to his self-development journey, the biggest mistakes people make when setting big, massive goals, and so much more. I'm so excited about this. Make sure to spread this message to a friend of yours, someone that you think would be inspired by Shaun's story and lessons as well. You can just copy and paste the link wherever you're listening to this podcast and post it over on social media, tag me and Shaun White, or text a friend or two. And I want to share a shout out to our fan of the week. This is from Elise, who said, "You and your guests have given me something to look forward to every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I cannot get enough of this podcast." Thank you, Lewis. And a big thank you, Elise, for being the fan of the week. And if you guys want to get your chance to be shouted out on the podcast, leave a review over on Apple Podcasts right now. Let us know your thoughts of why this inspired you and what you've learned about this, and get your chance to be shouted out on the podcast here. Go to Apple Podcasts right now, click the subscribe button, and leave a review over there. Okay, in just a moment, the one and only Shaun White.
Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Greatness. We've got the legendary Shaun White in the house. My man,
hey.
So good to see
Thanks
you.
Thanks for having me.
Been following your career for a long time. We've got a lot of mutual friends, and it's inspiring to see what you're able to do at 35 years of age. 3 Olympic golds, is that right now?
Yeah.
3 Olympic golds.
4 Olympics, three golds.
3 golds. You're going back for another one. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, how do you continue to stay so disciplined at this age with your body, your mindset, your training, to continue preparing at this level after so many years competing?
You know, it's tough. Honestly, you know, as you get older, there's just more things that interest you. You know, you're enticed by this, you know, starting a company, or, you know, just even just normal life things.
Relationships.
Yeah, going to a birthday party, you know, like, moving home, you know, like just anything like that. And I found that, like, oddly enough for me, like taking the time to do those things actually makes me better at snowboarding.
Really?
Because I have the, you know, the muscle memory, and I've done it my whole life. So it's like, you know, it's like riding a bike, you know it. You know, it's just like, how enthused are you once you get there?
Right.
So if I'm really motivated when I get to the mountain, then I'm dangerous because I'm pumped. I want to learn the new tricks and I have the ability to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just when I get there and I maybe don't want to be there, and that's when it's really hard. So I think after the, not the last Olympics, but the one before that, after I lost in Sochi in Russia, you know, I missed the podium, and I remember standing there, I had the winning run. I mean, I had all the tricks to do it. I just couldn't. In my head, I just knew I wasn't going to do well.
Really?
Which is really, you know, a horrible feeling. You're like watching a movie. You can't really.
Why don't you think
here we go.
Why did you not think you could do it well?
You know, I don't know. It's just something was just off. And all I can chalk it up to is that my heart just wasn't fully into it. And I didn't think that fully mattered at the time. I was like, I can just kind of
wing it.
I can phone it in. I got the tricks. I mean, you know what I mean? And just something in me didn't want it. I couldn't get to that place. And I was in that pressure cooker situation where I was like the last guy to go. It's one run. That's it. I'm closing it out. And I was like, okay, this is... this isn't going to go well.
So you said to yourself beforehand, this may not go well.
Yeah. So, for sure. I just kind of had a feeling, which is awful. And it's hard to just snap out of that last second. And so after that Olympics, everything I did after that was like, okay, well, it wasn't a physical thing that kept me from winning. It was a mental thing.
Interesting.
And so I'm like, what do I do now? Because it's easy to go, I wish it was physical. I'd go do some sit-ups. I'd go learn the new hard trick. I could do whatever. It was mental. It was like, okay, how do I make myself like or fall in love with this thing again? Like, how do you make yourself, you know, love somebody else even? Like, you know what I'm saying? In that same wheelhouse, it's like, it's not an easy thing to do. And so I reignite that excitement. And so I literally did everything that had nothing to do with snowboarding. I was like, okay, like, oh, I gotta patch this relationship with my brother. Like, he worked for me, he stopped working for me. We were good, but we never really talked. You know what I mean? I was like, I hate how I'm
portrayed. It was fake good.
Yeah, I was like, I hate how I'm portrayed on Instagram, because all of a sudden it went from like a way to be in touch with my friends to like being like puppeteered by a sponsor. Like, you're obligated to do these posts and you have to say these words. And this is before you would put ad on there. So everybody just thought like, Sean's really into the, you know, whatever it is. Just little, like all these little things. And as I started peeling them away, you know, like I just had like less and less, you know, burden on me, and I was just kind of like a happier guy in general.
As you started addressing these things,
the things that were around, I was like, what's going on with my relationship I'm in? What's going on here? You know, like, yeah, I would love to take a vacation. I would love to, you know, play music or do it, you know, other interests and passions and things. And in turn, so like even working out, like I went to the gym because I knew that after I work out, I just feel better.
Right.
You know, I just like, I'm like, oh, I accomplished something today. I knew that that would make me feel good. So I, you know, started going to the gym regularly. And then obviously you get the benefits of working out regularly.
You're in shape.
It's ridiculous because in 2014, I really started hitting the gym. I kind of said I did before, but I was, you know, I was getting by.
So you didn't work out or lift before then?
I did a little, but I
just on the slopes.
I was a professional skateboarder as well as snowboarder. So all summer long, like I'm competing and pumping the ramp, and like I never had a break. So like all the guys that just like kicked it in Thailand or wherever, you know what I mean? I was like in the hunt still, you know, having to be in a pressure situation, competing, exercising, all the things. So it wasn't until like 2014 I really started working out. And then a big one was, I found a new manager. I found a new, you know, publicist to work with. I found an amazing physical therapist that was just like super, like I started building my little team of everybody that was like really, you know, on the same page and knew my goal and could help me get there and not kind of get stuck in their own, you know, because it's a very selfless sort of position to be in, to assist somebody else, you know, and to help them and be part of that team to get to this place. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they're missing birthdays and they're missing, you know, events and things, and their relationships are strained, like all that stuff to, you know, help me get my goal. So, you know, really wonderful people in my corner. And then a really awesome coach, this guy named JJ Thomas. Mm-hmm. And he's an ex-professional snowboarder. I saw him at the mountain. We had fun hanging, riding. And I was like, hey, man, you want to like team up and do that? And it just, the rapport was there. And so like I had this awesome little team around me. And then when I found myself at the mountain, I was just like excited to be there. Wow. And the little things that used to bum me out or, you know, put me in a bad state of mind were just gone.
Where do you think you would have been had you not address the maybe things in your life that you weren't fulfilled with yet or kind of finalized or resolved with relationships and without having the team to support you? Where do you think you'd be if you didn't do those two things?
Well, gosh, I mean, I don't think, I think I probably would have just quit, I'm assuming.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, if you know, why do something if it's not enjoyable in the end? And you know, there's a level of fun, and then there's a level of like fulfillment.
Yes.
So it's not that I'm just like there to have a good time. Like, sure, there's moments of like, oh, this is really fun. We're in Austria. We're in Switzerland. We're getting you know, we're eating schnitzel and doing whatever. You know, like sure, it's fun, but then like, you know, the fulfillment comes when you like have a goal and you actually like, you know, make strides to get to that place and achieve that goal or come close and then reformulate and come back at it and try it again, you know, and you finally get to that place. It's fulfilling. And so that's something for me that like has always been there in the sport. And that's why competing and you know, doing the Olympics and all these things, it's always been so fulfilling, is that there was that goal, there was that prize at the end.
Absolutely.
You know, something to be obtained. But yeah, I think, you know, and I don't even know. I mean, it's hard to say, and there's so much what if, but I don't know. I could have easily cruised into a third, a three-peat, and maybe retired at that point.
Sure.
Like, all right. You know, but I got to the Olympics. It didn't go my way. I was upset. I was frustrated. And I was like, wow, okay, well, this is probably here to teach me something.
Mm.
And I remember, it's so funny, I can see it clear as day, but I was at my home. I had a home in Malibu. And I was sitting on the bluff. It was like on the water. I was sitting on the bluff, like trying to feel really bad for myself.
And you're like, I'm in Malibu on the ocean.
No, so like, literally, I'm like tearing up. Like, oh, you blew it. You blew it. You're an idiot. You know, you like, I could have done this, or why didn't I do that? All these what ifs, and you know, your brain can just do numbers on you. So I'm sitting there spiraling, and I look out, and this whale just like jumped in the air, and I was like, oh my god.
You're right.
Is that a whale? Like, so majestic. And
yeah, some perspective.
It just broke the whole, like, I was like, wow, well, things aren't so bad.
Right,
you know, I'm
right
here. This is a beautiful life I've made for myself. And
I've won two gold medals already.
Great. And you know, but up to that point, I'd never been to an Olympics and lost. So I was kind of like, oh, it's all over.
Yeah.
It's done. Like, I just thought that, you know, it doesn't matter. The other medals are, you know, erased if this doesn't happen.
Interesting. That's how you felt?
Yeah, that's kind of how I operated for a while. Like, I just, like, because you have to stay in the hunt for the next big win. So I'd always, like, oh, cool, the trophy. Okay. And then, like, now, you know, and you've got multiple events. And so, and it's literally the first question they ask you. Are you going to the next Olympics? Right at the end.
Right, really?
Literally, you're like, you're trying to catch your breath. And they're like, so you go to the next one? And it's heavy. So I remember sitting there thinking like, okay, like I know how I feel inside, and there were things that didn't go my way. And yeah, I had my plan, you know, which, what does that mean at this point? And I remember thinking the thought of, okay, I'm going to make this the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Losing.
And that was...
You mean the losing part?
Yeah, losing. I was like, I'll make this the best thing that's ever happened to me. And that's when I started with that mindset of like, okay, well, if this was the best thing, then what is the outcome? Like, oh, well, you know, I wasn't doing the big media spree, so I have time to do this now. Like, I actually just spent time at my house. I was like, oh, I have time to reconnect with family or friends or what, you know, I have time. I was in a band for like a while, and you know, the band went on tour because we had time to do that.
That's
like
cool.
Just a bunch of fun things. And so, and then that whole sort of like, well, if I'm going to go again, what would be the perfect situation?
Mm-hmm.
And then I started filling in the pieces of like the puzzle of like, oh, well, who would my coach be? And gosh, you know what? Instead of just calling random people to get massages wherever I'm at or physical therapy, like, what if we just locked in somebody that traveled with me? And
you knew what you're going to get every
what
time.
What if that person's great and they know my body so well? And it's almost embarrassing to say that I hadn't had that for years.
Wow.
It's, you know, it's not something that's really taught as much. Nowadays, it's more spoken about, but like...
Now you hear LeBron saying he's spending, you know, $1 million a year
on
his body.
Sure, and you don't really think about it. I remember hearing that, like, oh, that's cool. Like, you know, and the sport of snowboarding, like, it was pretty lame to have a coach even for like a long time. Yeah, you know, it's like...
It wasn't cool or something?
Yeah, like to have an agent or to have a coach or to, you know, care or to want to
like
win.
It's like you're sold out or something.
It's like high school, yeah. It's like, you know, like, oh, he cares. That's lame. You know, so it all kind of happened later. And then once I built the team, I was like, how did I even It's like you getting a pet or something. You're like, how did I don't remember my life before this. Like, how did I get this far? So yeah, having the team was amazing. And then I guess basically I was on my journey to that next Olympics, and I had my plan. I love my plans. Yeah. Everything's going to plan. I was crushed. Everything's going great. I'm feeling strong. I'm motivated. I got my team. And I'm in New Zealand, and I'm like, heck it. I'm going to go for this trick that I've been trying. I've been procrastinating, putting it off. Like, let's just get it done. Today's the day. Throw the trick, clip the top of the pipe, fly to the bottom. The wall is 22 feet tall.
Oh my
gosh. I clip the top, then I bounce. And the sun was, I forget what time it was. It was maybe midday. So the sun was here, meaning that like this wall's in the shade and this wall's sunny and soft. So it was the icy wall. I clipped the top, fly to the bottom, and I caught the edge of my board in the snow, and it put my face into the snow. And, you know, next thing you know, I'm like in a helicopter flying to the hospital. I'd like rip my face open and 62 stitches, and I had like pulmonary lung contusion. It was just like a really bad crash.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, this wasn't part of my plan.
That was a couple months before the Olympics, wasn't it?
This was literally right before.
I remember seeing
this. And I was just like, okay, like, you know, is this a sign that I should stop? Is this, what is this? And I really had to sit with myself and think about it and go, okay, well, this is in my way for some reason. Like, what's to be learned from this? You know, and it just really kind of straightened everything out for me, as strange as that sounds. Like, basically, yeah, I'd been telling myself it'd be great to win the Olympics, and oh, this would be nice, and oh, I could do this afterward, and you know what I mean? I had all my plans, and then I had this horrible crash, and I was like, okay, well, how badly do you really, like, right. And even saying you want it, but how badly do you really want it? Because going back out on the snow means in some small percentage, but there is a percentage, that I'm willing to let this happen to myself again.
Again.
And it was horrible. My face is hanging open. I'm trying to eat, you know, yogurt or whatever I could. Dude. And
I just had 3 implants in 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And a bone graft in one place because I had teeth removed when I was 18 that I never got fixed.
Yeah.
So I've had these kind of gaps.
Oh, okay.
For 20 years.
Okay.
My mouth is like kind of collapsing. And so
No.
I don't know your pain, but I know the pain of like...
Yeah.
Getting those implants was like 10 days of eating yogurt every day and soup. It's miserable.
And it's your face too. So miserable. Like me looking in the mirror and all I remember is the sweetheart angel of a person, this woman named Esther, who's my physical therapist. Because I had to do my interviews. They're like, well, we need a live hit for the Today Show.
Oh,
and I
man.
Was like,
you're like,
so there I was in the air and I dropped in and I hit the top and like, cause I couldn't, you know, scars, they're stiff when they heal. Man. And it only hurts when you're in the cold, although I'm a snowboarder, so always it was just freezing at the bottom, and they're like, can we get a hit? Like,
oh, man.
Tell us how the run was. And I can barely talk, and all I remember is being in the airport, and, you know, scar tissue, you need to break it down.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, like, on my phone, in tears, because my physical therapist has got her hand in my mouth, and she's just, like, grinding down the scar tissue. And people
like,
what the, you know, this is before COVID, so you could put your hand
in people's mouths,
you know, randomly.
Dang,
but,
man.
Yeah.
Did you say 60 stitches?
Yeah, like 62. I cut my forehead.
Oh my gosh, man.
And through my lip and nose, and I bit through my tongue.
Did you have to do any like dental surgery?
No,
or
thankfully.
Gosh, man.
The
good.
Only thing that was like an issue was, you know, they kind of let me out of the hospital, and then that whole night I felt like I was kind of drowning. What's going on? I thought maybe from the procedure it was the tube they put down, something. And I went back and they're like, let's just take a quick x-ray. And my lungs were just full of blood because
of the
impact. It had bruised them. And so they threw me straight back to the urgent care area. And I had to sit there with this little bucket and like get clear of the lungs. You know?
Really? Does that come out a tube that takes it out? Or they
it was sugar? Just me breathing in... like a humidifier to kind of like loosen the blood.
Oh my gosh, man.
Yeah, it was just like a whole thing. But so to come back from that, I was like, okay, well now I got to like do the trick that put me in the hospital. And like my coach was like, you got it. And I'm like, I know.
But
I was pretty sure I had it the last time. And so anyways, I had to like make this pact with myself. I was like, okay, I'm not going to do the trick until like I'm ready to do it. And the conditions are perfect because I try to force it.
Yeah, it's not, yeah.
And so I waited, and then, man, like, acts of God happened. It was like, you know, show up to the event and like, you know, the pipe's not built for the first 2 days because it was a really bad winter. So it was pretty dry. And like, they're like, oh, there's only one day of practice. Like literally like all these weird things. Like I show up for this practice session and then the machine that builds the half pipes broke.
Oh man.
Or I flew to Canada and then the Canada, like a giant storm blew in. And then I was like, okay, well, we got to go back to Mammoth Mountains. I could fly to Mammoth Mountain. I got there and I got really ill. Like I just got a flu or something. And so all these weird things kept me.
Getting closer to the Olympics, yeah.
Literally, it's 2 weeks away at this point.
And you still haven't done the trick.
I haven't done, I did the trick like twice, I think. I finally just like got it done, but I hadn't done like repetition and right. I hadn't, you know, it's a routine. So you would do a trick into that trick into another trick.
You hadn't done that.
I hadn't done it. And I'm flying to the Olympics like, well, I guess we'll just do it when we get there.
Shut up. Really?
Yeah.
So you didn't do it. You didn't practice the full routine until the Olympics?
Until the second run.
Oh, my
gosh.
That's
the first time I ever tried that run. So, of course, I fell. And now, deja vu, I'm sitting where I was at the last Olympics. Last guy to go. There's one more run. And I was just like, I'm going to win this. I don't know. I just like I felt it the other way, I was like, I'm going to win this thing. For sure. There's no way I'm not going to make this run. And I just remember thinking like...
One of my favorite parts about my job is that I get the opportunity to travel a lot. And in fact, I'm recording this right now while I'm in Mexico. And actually, I was thinking about something that I wanted to share because I get a lot of questions from so many people about different side hustle ideas. So here's one for those of you out there that are on the go a lot like I am or traveling a lot. When you're staying in your Airbnb on your trips, have you ever thought about how you could be making extra money by hosting through Airbnb while your home is vacant? If you're interested in an extra stream of income, Airbnb hosting is an easy place to start, and it's like giving your home some company while you're away. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
I can picture it because I was like, you know, enjoy it because this is, you're going to win this thing. And
wow.
I remember the orange of the outfits we were wearing, all the banners and flags and things were orange. And then they had a big flag at the top and the flag was down, meaning no wind. And like it was kind of overcast that day and it started to open up a little bit. And I was like, this is
perfect
moment.
For you,
and like
yeah.
A song came on, I recognized. It's like some Post Malone something. I was like,
let's go.
And man, nailed it to win it, you know? And so that's why at the end of that Olympics, like, I don't know if I've ever really broken down that much, but it was such an emotional journey to get to that win.
Yeah, man.
To like, from the family stuff to, you know, Instagram, whatever, all these things that I changed in my life, and then to have that bad accident and really question everything only to get there and win. It was just such like a overwhelming of you know, joy and all that. So yeah,
I remember watching it live and just, yeah, you had so much emotion. But mm-hmm. hearing the full story now, I could see why.
Yeah. So it was heavy. And trust me, getting to that point where I'm like, wow, I'm just going to do it when I get there. Like,
that's nuts.
I've been plotting for over, you know, four years at this point for this one moment. And I'm going to show up unprepared. Like, how did this happen? How did I get to this point?
Well, I'm prepared, but 25 years of preparation.
For sure. So, like, I know how to compete. Yeah, yeah. I know these things, but, like, you know, you want to be ironclad
when
you get
there. Of course. And you're kind of winging it.
Yeah. And at this point, I'm like, all right, well, let's see what happens. And so that was very unnerving. And so.
And did you know that going into it, like, this is a winning combination? Like, if I can land this perfectly or close to perfect, it's a winner.
Pretty much. I mean, the only thing is that the other competitor, his name's Ayumu, is a Japanese snowboarder. He had a very similar run. And so, you know, I was like, okay, like, not only do I have to do this run, but just do it bigger and better than he did it. So I was like, okay.
He's a lot younger than you.
Yeah, he's a lot younger.
More fearless, maybe. Didn't just smash his face a month ago.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And, you know, and I was in that pressure spot of like, okay, like, it's make or break. Like, everyone's watching. Am I going to do it or not? And
and
all that stuff clicked in, and I was like, I'm going to do it.
And you knew right when you finished, you knew you won.
Not exactly. I knew that was the best chance I had for sure of winning.
You know, you did your best.
It was so intense, and like it's all connected. So I don't really remember specific moments. So I'm watching the screen, going like, "Okay, I feel like I killed it, but did I touch a hand somewhere? Did I land kind of flat and not notice it? Is it, you know, it's so you're so wound up."
Yeah.
And then, man, so everybody at the top celebrating because the score came in right away.
Really?
Like I had won. Boom. NBC held the score for like a dramatic pause.
So you didn't
like,
see it until you're on
like
camera.
It felt like an eternity. I was just like, and I'm watching, and they had the other athletes here, so I don't want to like go near them because I don't know, I just didn't want to look in their faces and like, and you know, and so then the judges booth's right in front of me, and I swear I look up in the booth and some guy's doing like a like playing limbo with my fate, you know, and. And so I'm like, ugh. And then the crowd and TV cameras here, so I'm just kind of like panning around. And finally the score hit, and I was just like, I lost it. It was so amazing. And then just seeing my family and, you know, Jake Burton, the owner of Burton Snowboards, who sadly passed away. Yeah. You know, amazing moment with him. He was just like, how the F do you do that?
Wow,
every
man.
Time? You know, it's like, because you know he's congratulated me after every you know big win, and even there when the upset happened, you know, so amazing to see like familiar faces and all that, and but I was so proud of that, like all those little steps I took actually paid off. They got me to that place where I was sitting in the same position, and I'm like, I'm gonna win, rather than like I'm not there. So that was, I think, what I was the most proud of after that Olympics.
Have you ever had another moment before a run where you're like, I don't think this is going to go well, but it did go well? Like you said to yourself, like, ugh, man, this is a tough one. I don't know. We'll see. It's 50-50. And then you just nail it still.
There was one. It was actually the qualifier to get to that Olympics.
Oh, wow.
We were in Aspen, the mountain of snowmass, and like kind of similar situation where I show up, I'm so excited. You get three runs for final. The first run, I was way too excited.
Yeah,
and like overamped.
Yeah.
And I like shot out and I was like, oh my God. And my coach is like, what happened? I was like, I don't know, I'm sorry. I just like,
excited.
I got too pumped. And like, and as the, you know, it's the mountains. So as the day goes on, these clouds start rolling in and it's getting colder. So the temp drops, so the snow hardens, it's going faster and it's like, it's getting scarier. And, you know, the second run, perfect. Nailed it the whole way down, and on the last hit I like washed out and I'm like, oh my God. You know, and at this point we're panicking because we're a couple qualifiers deep. We still need to make the team, like the commercials are airing that I'm going to the Olympics,
and
like I haven't made the team. We have to qualify every time.
The pressure, man.
So I'm sitting there going like, okay, like
you got one more run.
And so I'm talking to, I got one more run, I'm the last guy to go.
Oh,
same deal. And I talk to my coach and he's like, you know, I'm like, what do I do? I'm like in the start gate. I'm like, what are we doing for that last hit? The one that I fell on. I'm like, are we going for this big? It's the 1260 is called. And I was like, are we going for the 12 or should I dial it back to a 9? Or should, like, what are we doing? And he was just kind of like, you know, I'm talking to him about it. And out of nowhere, he's like, do the 14.
Which is,
you know, it's all just degrees of rotation.
More rotations?
So, more, yeah. And I was
so
like,
he said, do we do 12 or 9? He said,
yeah,
no,
do the 14. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, on the first hit. We were talking about the last hit.
On the first drop, go ahead.
He's like, do the 14. You've practiced it so much. You're ready. Just do the 14. And I was like, and I remember looking at him being like, sure, okay, yeah.
Right, like seconds
like,
before you
like,
go.
And the guy's literally telling me to go at this point. He's like, go. And I was like, so what are we doing? He's like, I don't know. I was like, well, I kind of got to go. We're having this argument. And he's just, and the guy's like, come on, like, rider ready, like, go. And so I remember, like, giving him the, like, fine. Basically, like, saying, like, if it doesn't work, it's your fault. It's your fault. nailed it. I fully nailed it, and I and it gave me the second win, and, like, and then I start hammering the run. Best part is we. I'm on the last hit, and I was like, we never decided what we were going to do the last hit.
You didn't know what you were going to do.
Because we only talked about the first hit. And so I was
so you
like,
3 seconds to decide.
Yes. I'm like, well, I'm already on the heater. I might as well go for the 12, the harder trick. Like, let's just do it. And boom. I went from, like, I think I was in, like second to last place on the roster to, like, winning. I won with that run, but I got a perfect 100 score. Like, I nailed it. Like, I nailed the run. And that's only been handed out once before, which was actually for me at the X Games event. Which was, so this is, you know, but it meant a lot to me because that X Games judging and the actual Olympic judging is a little bit different. Yeah, yeah. So it was like, oh, wow, it felt even more official, maybe.
Yeah, of course.
I shouldn't say that. It was just as amazing either way.
Right.
But, like, went from dead last to, like, you know, winning the competition, perfect 100 score, making the Olympic team, all in like a couple seconds there.
And 20 seconds before, ever. You didn't know what you were going to do.
Well, I didn't know the run. Yeah, I didn't know what we were going to do. So.
But did you go into it when you dropped? Were you like, I'm screwed in your mind? Or were you like, I got this. I'll figure it out.
I think a part of me was like, you know, who cares? Because... you know, it's on him.
Mm.
You know, and I'm a firm believer in you ever played ping pong?
I love ping pong.
And like all of a sudden you're up 10 points or something, and you go, oh, I'm up 10 points. I should really focus now.
And then you mess
it
up.
Blowing it. Yeah. So
you
it's your
loose.
Head. Yeah. You so loose. Like that bit of not caring probably allowed me to go crush that run because I was in a state of like, well, heck with it. Like I'm gonna just go for it.
You're loose.
Yeah. And then as I started nailing the tricks, that's when things like the tunnel vision happened and I was like, oh, I'm actually killing it. Like stay focused.
Yeah.
And I got like a second wind in the middle of my run. And that's when I threw, cause at this point, like it's dragged on. Like I said, the clouds had moved in. Mm. I'm tired. Mm. I'm exhausted.
End of the day.
So when he's like telling me to do the 14, I'm already like, I'm ready for bed. I told him like, let's just wrap it. We'll go over to the next event and try to win that thing. But anyways, so that was like an amazing situation where like I was pretty convinced I wasn't going to do well and somehow pulled it out.
Nailed it.
There's been a couple of those. There was one there's one where I actually set the record for the highest air out of the half pipe. And the best part of the story is that the morning of, I think I was fighting a cold. And so, like, you know, if you work out or you do something strenuous, like, your body's fighting the cold, yes. not repairing the muscles. So right. I woke up and I could barely walk. I was so tired. And I call my coach, different coach at this point. He comes over and shows up with giant bags of ice. And like we fill the bathtubs, hot water and cold water. And I just start going back and forth. I'm like, okay, I got maybe like 3 runs, 4 runs in me max. So let's do like a pretty simple warm-up run and then just try to do it in the contest right. and get it done. And I
this
drop
is your,
in.
This is your Michael Jordan moment.
Yeah.
This is your flu game.
I drop in. I can't stop. My leg is so tired and so worn that if I can't use it to break, like there's not, like it would have folded on me. And so I went so big because I couldn't stop. I shot out the top of the pipe.
Oh my gosh.
Huge air. I forget the height. At that point, I think like 23 feet was probably the biggest air ever.
And this
done.
Is a 20 foot.
22 foot pipe. So I'm out about 20 something feet above
that. On top
that.
Of that.
Yeah.
How about you're looking down to the ground 45 feet down?
Yeah, yeah. Well, because I'm landing higher than the 22,
yeah, but
you're,
you look,
you're up there. Yeah.
If you look another, yeah,
for sure.
Man, that's scary, man.
Yeah. So the idea is to be in this side of the, the pipe, catch the wall. And so I'm flying and I'm thinking like, wow, I've never really gone this big. If I could just finish this run, I'm gonna win. And I somehow pulled it together and nailed it.
That's terrifying, man.
Yeah. I may have like even like bowed out on my last run.
Because you're just like,
I couldn't do it. Yeah. I was too tired.
I'm curious about, I mean, you've rarely lost a competition, right? It's like, it's a rare day for you if you lose or get second or whatever. Mm. Have you learned how to put your self-worth not on winning or losing, but just to put it on who you are as a human being?
Mm-hmm.
Or have you struggled in the past with, man, I suck today and I'm no good as a person as well? Like, how do you wrap your self-worth around your competition and separate it from just who you are as a human?
No, it's a great question because, like, I would say I'm so much cooler with losing now than I ever was before. Yeah. I mean, it would just tear me apart. It's so weird because I probably had won 10 competitions straight going into this one and got second by a point and a half or something, and I was just devastated. Like, how did this happen? And what, like, and you know, that kind of self-worth being derived from those situations is difficult. You know, it drives you to be better, but it's unsustainable. You know, if your happiness is just hanging in the balance of
winning,
and it's a judged event. It's like, you know, it's opinions of who did better. And so, yeah, I mean,
how do you manage that now then?
I wish I could say I had a good grasp on it when I was younger. I mean, something about, I guess nowadays, it's twofold. I mean, not to pat myself on the back, but I've won a lot of events. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel as much I have to prove as much of, you know, of my, you know, hey, like I'm the best, or I've been, the, you know, like I don't feel like I have to prove as much. So I'm content with, like, even I've been at events where I'm just like, I'm not competing today because it's unsafe or it's this or I'm not feeling it. Like, if you actually look at my track record, like, I've pulled out of a lot of events.
Really?
Because it's just unsafe at times. Mm-hmm. But look at it as a marathon. It's not a sprint. It doesn't matter. Today's, that's cool, but yeah, it'll go by and it'll be there next year and maybe the conditions will be better, more favorable, and I'll be healthy and ready to do it. So I like to think of my career as that long game. And so nowadays, it helps knowing that, like, okay, well, I'm going to lose this event. I know it's not going to go well, but I know that this is the goal. So
it's not the one event. It's
It's not this event. It's that one. So, like, qualifying for that last Olympics, like, I showed up at the first event knowing I was going to lose. And I was like, oh, this would be great. I'm going to show face, see what everyone's doing, and I'll get a clear picture of, like, okay, here's where the level's at, and here's where I need to be, or where am I at? And I didn't show my cards.
Smart.
So I was like, okay, we'll see what happens and, you know, play it. And so there's strategy, too, involved. And, you know, and it changes over the time. I had to win everything. And, like, and if you kind of challenged what I was doing, then I would run off and do whatever else. But
now you're okay with losing an event that's not as important as the main events.
Like, but did I hit my markers? Did I get my points toward making the team? Did I, did I save my body? Did I, you know what I mean? And so even like we kind of mentioned in the waiting room, it's like after the Olympics, I take a season off.
Yeah.
So if you extrapolate that over the years, I've, you know, almost five Olympics now, you know, so that means 4 years I've taken off. That's 4 years that I've been able to kind of like let the body rest and my head rest and all these things. And so it definitely stretched my career out, you know, and I hate to admit I'm the oldest competitor, but yeah, at this point it's really funny because I remember dropping in and being the youngest competitor.
Isn't that funny?
They're like, I'm the oldest competitor dropping. I'm like, oh.
You still feel like the young guy or no?
I still feel like, you know, I mean, I don't feel like the young guy, but I feel like it could be my game. You know, it's my competition to win or lose.
Yeah.
I still feel that way, you know, where, I don't know, I think if I was like clinging on to like 10th, 11th, you know, my family would be like,
get out of here.
It's time.
For sure.
Or, you know, there'd be a tell at some point.
Yeah.
So nowadays I just kind of manage it that way. And then honestly, I did like a bunch of just kind of like, I don't know what you call it. I guess work on myself or just kind of, you know, I went to a lot
What did that look like? Was that therapy? Was that workshops?
It was all of the above. I was talking to therapists and then I was, you know, reading some really, you know, eye-opening books. And then
which books impacted you?
One was called A New Earth. It was Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah. It's worded pretty, you know, it's very, I don't know what you'd say. It's
spiritual.
Exactly. It's intense. But if you really take the time to read and remember to like reread pages, I'm like, wait, what are they saying? So that was, you know, an amazing book that really opened my eyes up to a lot of different things and the way my brain works and the thought process and how I've been kind of like, assessing the situation and you know, the events that happen, they happen. Mm-hmm. It's how I interpret them mm-hmm. is what's like driving me and fueling me. And if it's something I interpret to be a bad thing, then I'm going to, you know, act and these emotions will stir from that. And so it really made me understand that. And then another book I read was called Loving What Is by Byron Katie.
She's great. We had her on the show. She's awesome.
Yeah. Man, I swear I saw her somewhere. I got all fangirl. I was like,
she's amazing, man.
So
she came out here and she pretty much did like live therapy with me. I was like, this is incredible. Yeah. So you read those two books. Those really impacted.
Yeah, those are really heavy. There's a couple others, but those were the main ones. And then I honestly got a phone call from Tony Robbins to come down to his house and do like a speaking engagement.
He does the platinum partner things.
It was like, you know, just, and I do those sometimes, which was cool. And he called me up and I go down there and.
In Florida, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was at his home.
I've been down
there.
And
the panel was myself, Michael Phelps, and Tom McGregor. Tom Brady.
Oh, Tom. Yeah.
I think that was the next year's one. I was like, oh, this is cool. I went first, and then I'm listening to Michael speak, and I was like, wow. It really blew me away to hear like a fellow athlete talk about the struggles of like how you feel after an event. And like, even if you win, it doesn't mean that like all these other things are great in your life. You know, it doesn't mean that the dog's gonna like listen to you. It doesn't mean that like, you know, these people are gonna care for you more. Your business isn't in a better place. Like all these things that like, winning is amazing, but it doesn't fix everything. And a lot of that stuff gets pushed to the side in order to win. And so it was really eye-opening to hear him speak. And then afterward, Tony was like, look, you know, we do this little, you know, he calls it a prayer. It's nothing religious at all, but it was kind of this like meditation, quick meditation thing. He's like, Michael's gonna, we're all gonna do it. I was like, okay. And it's basically the concept of like stacking, you know, you go through the day and you kind of like, whatever, the sofa I ordered is back ordered now. I thought it was going to be here this week. It's going to be next month. They're like, so let's stack that. And then like, oh, I got the phone call from so-and-so that the event got canceled because of COVID, you know, great. And then you start stacking these things. And so it's just a simple process. His prayer is a, which I understand later, but it was the idea of like, you know, hey, let's go and just take a minute to stack all these really great things that happened, because you don't really take the time to do that.
Not to focus on all the negative things.
Totally, or like just take a moment to be like, oh man, like, hey, when did something like really just work out? Like you said, that run in Aspen, like it just worked out. You know, I was thinking, oh, it's probably not gonna be my day, and boom, it hit, it just worked out. And like, hey, let's, like, what an amazing win where something just kind of went my way. And like, let's take something that I really worked hard for and that actually happened. And like, oh, what, by chance, you know, like a person you met that became a lifelong friend, or, you know, just these things. Mm-hmm. I remember leaving feeling like,
ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot, and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Like, I was so pumped up, and I just really, you know, at the time needed something like that. Anyway, so I leave, and, you know, that feeling kind of fades a little, obviously. And a couple months go by, and randomly he called me.
Tony.
Yeah. He's like, we're doing an event. And I was driving, and I you know, when you click your phone, it comes through the car speakers.
Yeah.
It's and that loud. Huge voice of his was like, we're doing an event. Come out. It's an invitation, not an expectation. Just whatever you want, you know, send a family member, whatever. And so I was like, you know what? Let's do it. And so I remember just like, I was like, I'm gonna go solo. My first instinct was to send family members that I cared about. I was like, oh, maybe I'll send my dad or my mom or my sister, somebody close to me that like would benefit from this. And then, and I remember hearing them on the phone. They're like, it's kind of like the planes crashing. Do you take the mask and put it on someone else? No, you gotta save yourself so you can save the others or whatever. And you know, and then I was like, I'm just gonna go and I'm gonna go alone. I went solo.
Wow.
And just kind of like,
was this UPW or Day with Destiny?
This
was
UPW.
It's and powerful, so, man. So you were walking on fire and stuff.
Yeah, it was the whole thing.
Yeah, cool. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, so
it's
you
amazing.
Went.
I've been there. Yeah,
okay,
yeah, I've done
so
it.
So it's just
amazing.
It was just awesome. Yeah. And it really got me thinking differently. And I remember thinking like, wow, well, if I felt pretty great after, it was just like my thought process of why I should work out. I was like, well, I feel better after. Well, why not? We'll go to something like this. And so I did the event. It was crazy, eye-opening, really amazing. And then after that, I went to a financial seminar he had up in Canada as like a thank you. Mm-hmm. He was like, hey, why don't I come like snowboard with your guests?
And wow, then, that's cool.
And I'll take the course.
Yeah.
So did that and then, you know, had some other interactions with him and then ended up doing the Day with Destiny in Florida. So after,
I haven't done that one yet.
After, you know, multiple hits of this, you know, you really, it starts to sink in. And that was really awesome because it's something about like, it's nice if somebody, you know, they can tell you, hey, feel better about this or do that, you know, but it's such a different thing when you come up with the idea yourself.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you're like that aha moment of like, oh wow, I've been doing this and now I realize this is a better way. And not only that, but like here are the tools to help you. So like with these books, like the first book, The New Earth, like got me thinking differently, but The Loving What Is kind of took that same kind of thought process and made it like applicable to my life.
Mm.
So I could go through my life and I like anytime something arises now, it triggers and I go, oh, let me, they do this thing where they, Katie does a, I'm sure you spoke with her, but you kind of break it down and you kind of question, you have these like four main questions and you're just like, okay, like how do I really feel about this? You start going through the questions and at the end it just takes all the life out of it, you know, it takes all that meaning and that sort of, you know, emotion that's drawn from the meaning that you're giving this thing, you're giving it all this life and it's
nothing. Do you remember the four questions? I can't remember them fully.
They're like, is it true?
Yeah.
And then
the second one
is it really true? Is it really true?
So the first one's, is it true?
Yeah.
Right?
The second one is it really true? And then pretty much every time the answer's no. And then it's like, how do you feel or how do you react when you hear that or believe that lie?
Yeah.
And then the fourth part is you turn it around, which is a little confusing to me, but it's like you kind of start saying it differently. Like,
You know. Perceiving it differently.
Yeah, just by saying it differently, though, is like, oh, this person did this. Right. Well, I did this, you know.
Right.
Or my thinking of this was wrong or this. Mm-hmm. And just you kind of saying it goes, oh, yeah, okay. But it's a really powerful thing because it really stops you in your tracks. And now when something arises where it's not that I walk on sunshine every day, but when problems do arise and like, you know, I'm like getting flack from the guy on Airbnb, whoever, I'm like about to write this crazy text. And I'm like, whoa, is this true? Is he really upset? You know, and you kind of like when something really upsets you, those are the signs that something's off.
What do you think?
Which is really cool.
What do you think? What's your biggest trigger in your life, or what has been your biggest trigger in the past that you've had to learn how to process better?
Well, that's the whole part of it. Is that the triggers are something basically that you're seeing it through a lens of your past.
Right. Right.
So it's not that you came in and said you didn't like my shirt. At some point, someone else said I didn't have good style, and now I'm hearing you say you don't like my shirt. Now I'm freaking out, you know, because I'm adding all this other stuff that you don't know about, but you were just not into the color, whatever, or were giving me a, you know, a hard time. You know, what was amazing is that everything really boils down to these, like, I'm butchering this, but there's, I hope Tony's not listening, but they boil down to these simple things of, like, I'm not enough. Or you know, that I'm not enough, or this isn't good enough, or, you know, I won't be loved, you know. And as simple as it is, it's like, okay, well, you know, like losing a contest, you know. Well, why? What's the meaning behind it? Like, oh, I wanted to win to show that I'm great. Well, why did you want to show you that you're great? Well, I was told kind of I wasn't going to amount to much in a sport that was not in the Olympics, that X Games had just started. Like, there's no future in the sport. So for years and years, the teachers and friends and people were like, you're going to amount to nothing.
Yeah.
You're a joke. Like, your sport's a joke. And we'll see in the future when you're asking for change, you know. And so that's kind of embedded in me. So there was this fight to prove that I was, you know, important or special or whatever. And so it all boils down to like that, like, oh, I'm not good enough, or I fear that I'm not enough. And so once you kind of realize you're pulling from this place, you know, you go, well, okay, take all this aside, like, man, like, what are the basics? Like, am I there for my friends when they need me? Like, for sure. Am I, you know, like, what are my strengths outside of all of this other stuff? And you kind of really get to know yourself a lot more.
Right.
And that was really amazing for me and so eye-opening, because I was just like, ever since I can remember, I've been competing and doing this and that and win after win. And, you know, how do we go bigger and more? And you know, I never really took the time to just go, oh, wow, like, hey, I tend to, like, do well at a dinner. Like, I can, I make people laugh. I'm good.
Right.
You send me in, I'm good.
You're good.
You know, like, that's a great quality to have, to be able to, like, be social and to, you know, to strike a chord with people and easily start conversation, make people laugh. And, like, that's a great quality to have. And, and the simplest fact of, like, oh, like, okay, if I knew someone like that, I would like just to have them around just for that basic fact that they're enjoyable to be with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just the simplest things. And then once you have that kind of foundation of understanding of like, gosh, well, I'm getting that sort of I am enough and I will be loved and all these things from all this, then everything else is just like, oh, well, and if I win the event,
that's great.
Like,
right?
You know, I'm like, oh, that was it. You know, so, but that's what's so weird is I was worried that it wouldn't like keep me motivated, but I'm still driven.
And this was all in the last couple of years you started doing this work,
this
right?
This was like 2018 pretty much, yeah.
So in the last 3 years, as you've started to do kind of more of the emotional, inner mental work, what would you say to your, you know, 13-year-old self getting into the journey of this this career for the last 20 years or whatever, 20 plus years, what would you say to him, knowing what you know now, about what the real champion's mindset is?
Yeah. No, it's tough. I mean, I've thought about that, but there were so many situations where I needed that drive. You know what I mean? I'm a firm believer in, like, you kind of, I don't know, I've just been like leveling up consistently through my career. So maybe I, you know, didn't need that lesson at that time. I definitely would have told myself to really like stop and enjoy the like, the little things. Yeah. Just because, you know, you don't realize that things just keep going on. You know, I remember signing this deal when I was really young and it's like this 10-year contract. I was like, I'll be playing golf by then. I'll be, you know what I mean? I was like, I'll be 30. Can you imagine? Yeah. And 30 came around, I was like, wow, I still feel so driven and youthful, and I got all this stuff in front of me. And so yeah, I don't know what I would say exactly, but I definitely to enjoy the little things.
Yeah.
And just go back and take the moment to like, man, we had this big win. Let's go celebrate that with this.
Yeah.
Like, let's just take an extra minute to do that.
Not already move on to the next thing.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Because, you know, it was just like, I had my and it, I don't think it would have gotten in the way. It would have just been like really enjoying, or like a big deal I signed or something, like
celebrating.
Yeah, those things.
But now that you've done, I guess, the deeper inner work that you're talking about, do you have a you know, a routine or a mindset or a mantra that you have going into events now that like you think about beforehand or before you're going up to the dropping in, or is it just you keep doing the same you've been doing?
No, it's pretty much the same. Yeah. That's what's so great about it, is it's like, it's just given new meaning to the same way that I feel already.
What's that,
like,
meaning?
Just that it's all a bonus. It's all like, you know what I mean? It's all icing on top of the cake. I mean, look at this long career I've had to this point. It's all, you know, and like, why not? Like, I still feel great. I still am motivated. I still am these things. And like, let's embrace that, but not put the extra, you know, emphasis on like, well, if it all doesn't work out, then nothing's good.
That I'm worthless, or I'm not enough.
Or just that like nothing's great, you know, and then you're at your beach house.
Like, you're like, crying, watching these whales.
Trying to be grumpy at the whales. You know, but that's, you know, I don't know. I fear I'm coming off preachy or something like that. It's something that worked for me and really helped me, but, you know, to each his own. And, you know, there is a time to push and to push through the frustrating parts. And then there's a time to kind of go, oh, wow, like, is this just a time for a course adjustment rather than, you know. So I think, as I've gotten older, and maybe it's just with age, like, I don't know if I would have listened at that point.
Right. You were so focused.
Like, I got a Lamborghini. Like, let's go.
What feedback would you give to someone out there, whether they're an athlete or they're just going after life in a big way, they have big goals, big dreams, whether maybe it's business or career or something. What feedback would you give them on the path of wanting to accomplish massive, big goals, being at the top of their field without hurting themselves along the way?
Well, again, I think, you know, definitely don't, this thought of like the delayed happiness is where you get in trouble. Mm. If this happens, then I'll be happy.
Yeah.
If I can only get the raise, then I'll be happy. If I could just win one more Olympics, then I'd be happy. If I could just... So you got to kind of, which is hard because, you know, you picture this place in your mind and you want to get there. And I'm very, like, I visualize everything. Yeah. And so, like, I can picture it. I can see the, you know, the red carpet rolling. I can picture, no, I'm kidding, but you know what I mean? Like, in your mind, they're throwing flowers at me at the, you know, like, you know, you can picture what it would be like. And like, gosh, if I just had this amount of money, I wouldn't worry about money anymore. You know, like, there's all these things and there's a way to enjoy it along the path. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. And that's something that took me a while to learn. And I think I would have had a much more enjoyable process getting to where I am in my life and career and still had that motivation if I would have been able to kind of, you know, like Tony says at his event, he says, what was it? You know, success without fulfillment is the greatest failure.
Yeah.
It's true. And it's so funny because you meet people and you'll have very famous people at that event and they stand up and they're like, oh, I won my Oscar. And I was like, well, I better win another one. And then I made this much money. And I was like, well, I better double it. And then and I just kind of sat there with my doubled money and my thing and went, well, what's next? You know, and it's you have to find the enjoyment. Otherwise, you get to that place where you get the you know, you finally get that goal and it's not in many ways it is what you'd hoped, but it's not exactly what you pictured. And so, and that's hard, you know, to get to that point. And it's frustrating because you put so much emphasis on this moment being this way. And if it doesn't work out exactly and picture exactly how it's going to go, you know, you're left kind of hanging.
Right.
So, it's getting rid of that. And then I'm just a huge believer in kind of like the little steps as well. It's like, what little thing can I do that my competitors are probably not doing that might help me?
Like what?
I don't know. Just, I remember winning the event and it just dawned on me that all my competitors would probably, this is when I kind of went to the gym. It dawned on me that all my competitors were probably going to go celebrate.
Like drink alcohol.
From second, or third, go party all night for sure. And I was like, what if I just hit the gym?
Right.
Just why not? Just something that would, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, why don't I just like push when they're going to not push? And, you know, just little things that I might be able to do to get to that place. And so I always, and goal setting was huge. And I hesitate to talk about it just because it's, I feel like it's talked about so much, but I don't really believe that people do it in the right way. You know, like, it's great to have a huge goal, but is that like really what you want? You know, because it's like there's so many times, like I said, I really wanted to win the Olympics in Korea. And then I'm sitting in a hospital with my face ripped open. And I was like, okay, do you really want, like, how bad do you really want this? And thankfully, I really, really wanted it. And that was the goal. And I was like, you know, and that helped me get there, oddly enough. But it's like really finding like what that is and knowing it wholeheartedly, like this is it. And then you start that little that process of getting there. If it's like, you know, are we selling t-shirts? Well, one extra shirt sold is this. Or like, maybe if I drive the car instead of shipping it, we're going to move the needle. Like any little thing I could do to like move the needle in the right direction. And so like having that big goal and then having like a bunch of fun little goals on the way and something that would be obtained by getting to the big goal. So, so
it sounds like, you know, the universe is going to ask you, do you really want this with the obstacles it puts in your way?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And people will question it, right, and you'll question it. And, you know, and mm-hmm, then the people within your inner circle, because you don't kind of listen to everybody else.
Right.
Those people will question it. And you got to really, you know what you want.
You got to listen to yourself.
Which is really hard.
Yeah.
But once you find it and know it wholeheartedly, then, okay, boom, that was a huge hurdle to clear. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, well, how can we get there? And I heard something a long time ago where, you know, instead of saying, oh, we can't do that, that really shuts the doors. Like, how could we do it? Mm-hmm. And that was me sitting after the Olympics in Russia when I lost. And I was like, okay, well, if I was going to win again, how would I do it?
There
and then
go.
I started like, well, I'd have to have a coach that, you know, did this for me, and I'd have to have the PT, you know, and I started to build this scenario, and I was like, wow, that actually seems doable, you know? And then I had like fun little goals along the way. So like at the one Olympics, my goal was to, I wanted to be on the cover of Rolling Stone, which had happened after the one Olympics, the first one I went to. I was 19.
Uh-huh.
And my goal was like, well, if I win again, they might call me and I'll be ready this time, you know? And, because I remember taking the photo, I'd just flown in from wherever. I was like, they're like, take your shirt off. I was like, I never take, I'm so white. Like, and I remember the photos coming out, and I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. And anyway, so I was like, if it happens again,
I'm going to be shredded.
This will happen, and I'll do this and this. And I remember watching, like, I got really into Guns N' Roses, and Axl did a show where he's in these tiny American flag shorts.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I can't run that. But what if I had pants? And so, like, I had these pants made, and it became all about, like, trying to get on the Rolling Stone cover and to wear these pants rather than, like, winning the Olympics.
Mm.
And so it kind of changed the goal to something fun and funny rather than this daunting task of winning the Olympics. But obviously winning the Olympics would mean I got to wear the pants and whatever.
Sure.
And so it literally all happened. I won the Olympics, Rolling Stone called, I had the pants, we shot the photo, and then and this actually all started because I was at the Hard Rock Casino probably on my birthday or something. We did my 21st there, and I remember seeing all the jackets. I love music and guitar and rock and roll, and I was like, God, how do I get something of mine into the Hard Rock, because it's all rock and roll memorabilia.
Sure.
And I was like, well, if I was on the cover,
that'd be cool.
So like those pants and the board, all the stuff from the cover got displayed at the Hard
Rock.
So it was
That's cool.
a full circle. So
that's
even
great.
Now I'm like planning my little,
what's
so
next?
I'll tell you, well, obviously,
give it to me.
Obviously to win the next Olympics would be wonderful on many levels.
2022.
But the 2022, and my fun goal, this is a good one.
Let's see, I'm excited for this.
My fun goal is that I'm hoping that after five Olympics, that I'm so I'm so well known as a snowboarder that it's so famous and well known that they're forced to change the Emojicon snowboarder to look like me.
Ooh,
this might be,
that'd be sweet.
Cool.
That'd be great.
I was like, I could maybe make that happen. I know they have like a David Bowie one. I was like,
really?
God. All they'd have to do is put some like long red hair on that guy.
That'd be cool.
And
flowing out the back of a helmet or something. Yeah, just like.
Because I keep picturing like, hey, it's me. And then throwing the emojis at people.
That's cool.
Hey, new number. It's me.
Yeah. Snowboarder like this in the
so,
air.
Yeah, those are my big goals.
I like that. The emoji.
Yeah.
Sean, what emoji? I like
it. The emoji.
That's the future, man.
Yeah. So.
Not the legacy of being
goals.
A five-time Olympian.
No.
The legacy of having an emoji.
Being on everyone in the world's phone.
There you go. That's great, man.
So, you know. But that's what's fun is it's, you know, every time is different. It changes. I mean, look at this curveball we were thrown,
mm-hmm.
COVID. I mean, mm-hmm. I can't go train in Canada. We can't go to, you know, Australia or New Zealand right now. Like, it's very strained, limited practice time. Everybody's trying to make it work. And, you know, like, we're all in the same boat together. So it's not like it's unfair or anything, but we're all, you know, it's just a new challenge. It presents itself in a new way, and there's new goals and new hopes. And
it's exciting,
it's been good.
Amazing journey, man.
Couple
final questions for you, and then I respect your time here, but this is very inspiring. Before I ask the final questions, I want people to check you out. I love your stuff on Instagram, man. Sean White on Instagram,
you.
Facebook, Twitter, your website, seanwhite.com.
Mm-hmm.
The recent post of you skateboarding. I think it was Switzerland or something. I was like, this is a dream world, man. Yeah. So you've got really cool stuff over there. You also have a new line coming out.
Dude.
If you can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I won't give away the name and all of it, but I've always dreamt of having my own, snowboard brand. And so, just like I set my goals and things. I remember after the last Olympics being like, gosh, if I come back here, I'm going to be on my own equipment. How cool would that be, to try to make that podium?
You've always been sponsored by someone else.
Yeah, and it's been amazing, and I wouldn't change that for the world. But as time goes on, I've had a hand in product development, obviously, and design, and had my own lines and places. I was like, gosh, it's time. Let's do it. And so, but it's really exciting because I used to work with my brother, and we made all sorts of products and things, and we stopped working together for some time. And now we're working together again.
That's cool.
And it feels amazing.
He's
fired up and I'm super excited and just testing the products. It just feels like old times.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
Yeah, so that'll be dropping. The soft goods of it all will be, unfortunately, next season because of the timelines. But the hard goods will be dropping this next winter.
Before the Olympics?
Next year, before.
Wow.
Right before, yeah.
So we can follow you on your socials, seanwhite.com. Do you have a newsletter there too, or somewhere to opt in?
If we don't, I'm gonna get
add it there. Yes, yeah. But in the meantime, if they just follow you on any of these accounts, they'll be up to date on all that stuff.
Right on.
So make sure to follow Sean and support him. I'll be getting some stuff. I haven't snowboarded in like 3 years, so I'll get some gear and then I'll start getting back on it.
Yeah, for sure. You might need a big board though.
I'm a big board. Yeah, I'm a big dude. I remember I kind of an accident like. Maybe 7 years ago, I went to Whistler for the first time.
Yeah.
And it's just a bigger mountain.
It's a big mountain.
It's like, I went down just like a normal whatever, but it was just like so much wind and so, and I was just like,
I have to stop 3 times just to get to the bottom because my legs are like
so long.
Burning.
Yeah. So long.
It's a big place.
And I hit like my edge on one and like flipped back and hit the back of my head. Oof. I didn't have a helmet on.
Oh,
I remember
no.
thinking, like, I need to have a helmet the rest of my time doing this. Because I was on the ground like for 5, 10 minutes. Like, that was.
Ugh.
Man, yeah, that was rough.
Yeah,
so.
And it comes quick when it snags.
Boom.
Yeah.
I thought it was fine, having fun, and then boop. Nope.
Yeah, it doesn't have to happen to me nearly as often, but on occasion, like, it's when you're not paying attention.
That's what happened
to me. I'll do the crazy trick and then fall, in the lift
line. That's what happened to me, yeah.
So, yeah.
This is a question I ask everyone at the end. It's called the three truths. So I'd like you to imagine a hypothetical scenario. It's your last day on Earth, many years away. You get to live as long as you want to live,
mm-hmm.
and you accomplish all your dreams.
Okay.
Five more Olympics, you're online, relationships, life, all these things happen.
Emoji.
That's the most important
I'm
thing.
Listening.
The emoji is on the cover of the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, yeah.
That's with the cover.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, in this hypothetical scenario, you've got to take all of your content with you. So all the interviews you've done, the spoken word, videos, written word, it's all going to go with you somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is many years away.
Mm-hmm.
And all you get to leave behind is 3 lessons to the world that you've learned from your life. And this is all we would have to remember you by are these 3 truths, I call it.
Okay.
What would you say would be the 3 truths you would leave behind?
I don't know. I think my gut goes to, immediately goes to the enjoy the little things.
Yeah.
Enjoy the moments. Because they're fleeting and you think they're going to last forever, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And, so many countless hours wasted going over what could have happened in the past that I can't change and what I should do in the future and just completely missing the amazing situation I'm in currently. So enjoying the moment.
Okay.
I think being true to who you are, honestly, because there's so much time spent, at least in my life thus far, has been, there's so many, there's the person I am and then there's the person that I think I should be sometimes.
Mm.
And it's so much just better to be who you are and not try to put on the show or who are you pleasing or, who are you trying to impress? And if you need to impress somebody, then it's somebody not worth you even having your time with. So, you know what I mean? I remember reading What Would Keith Richards Do? And it literally, one of the first or second things was he was like, know yourself. Mm. He's like, I could party all night, I could do this and I could do that. And I got up and I was fine. And I did it because I could do it. And I know a lot of guys that tried to do it because they thought that's what they're supposed to do, but they couldn't, you know what I mean? And he's like, I'm not advocating for this for anyone, but for me, it worked. This was my life. You know, it's like watching The Last Dance with Rodman. They're like, he's just that guy. Yeah, we got to send him out. Yeah. He gets a little crazy, comes back, but he's our crazy, you know? Yeah. And so know who you are and be true to that and don't be swayed. I mean, those are the things that kind of hold for me.
And the third?
You know, through thick and thin, through it all, like, you know, when I've had crazy wins or I've had, you know, a breakup or something, you know what I mean? Like, my family's always been there. And, like, I can only hope that I'm that for, you know, my family or my, you know, in the future. It's such a, I mean, I didn't drive myself to the mountains. Right. My parents got up every morning and drove me, like, God, that's so awesome, you know what I mean? And what an amazing thing to have in common with your family when you're growing up, you know, because so many families grow apart. That was something we had together. But, like, just the selflessness they had for me and my siblings, you know, growing up, it didn't matter if it was me and snowboarding or my sister wanted to play soccer. We're out selling candy bars trying to get on the team and, like, get the new uniform. Like, it didn't matter whether it was what I wanted or, we kind of gave 100% for each member of the family. And snowboarding just happened to be the thing to take off. But, you know, nothing can really replace that. And I think at times I remember thinking, like, I loved, obviously, the family unit I had. And it got strained a bit as, obviously, like, the growing pains of, like, becoming more successful and having to travel and having to, you know, the obligations and the media and the things. And it's like, and you go, oh, well, this is my life and this is my world. And you kind of get sucked up into it. And I remember at some point thinking that the family wasn't as important. Mm. But it truly is, because when all that goes or whatever happened, you know, like they're there for you. And what we talked about earlier in the basic, simplest of ways that, like, they like you.
Right. For who you are.
Yeah. They don't need, you know, like, oh, cool, you won the, that's great.
But we care.
So
are
we going to go see Spider-Man? Are we going to, you know, like, whatever. They care on that deeper level. And, you know, at least I can only speak for my family. It's been that amazing.
That's cool, man.
Support group for me. So, yeah.
That's great, man. I love these truths.
I hope I won that.
Those are good, man. Those are good. I've got my final question before I ask you. I just want to acknowledge you, Sean, for the way you've shown up for the last couple decades of inspiring so many of us. You know, you constantly show up and dedicated to your mastery of your craft. Mm-hmm. And you go big. Mm-hmm. You know, you go big. You're relentless. Even when you crash, getting back up. Mm-hmm. Like, you're just a symbol of inspiration to so many people.
Thank you.
And I love your commitment to your craft, and you have fun with it. Mm-hmm. And I also really acknowledge you for the last couple of years, like, doing the inner work. I think it's really hard to look within ourselves and see, hey, something's off. Mm-hmm. And to do that work, it's been a journey I've been on for a while as well. And to be talking about it as a global athlete icon, like you and Phelps, to be really talking about these things is really helping a lot of men, especially, who are maybe struggling in their inner world. So I really acknowledge you for opening up.
And everybody's got their thing. And that's what I didn't realize. You know, you look at Instagram and people and you go, oh, that guy's got it together.
Right.
And you're like, no, he doesn't. He's got a crazy uncle. He's got it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, everybody's got something. And
for sure,
to know you're not alone in that. But I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
It's inspiring.
It's been a learning journey.
For sure.
And
it's
still going. And I think that's the exciting part is I feel like I still have so much more ahead of me, you know, beyond competing, beyond everything. And
right.
I'm just like, yeah, I'm so excited for what's next.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
Final question. What's your definition of greatness?
Ooh, I thought I was done with the, three.
Wrong
I was
questions.
Like, I killed it. No, wait. Definition of greatness. Gosh, I mean, if you spoke to me like a couple of years ago, I had a different answer, but I think now is, something I've always carried with me was being just, I don't know, being different, I guess. I don't know how to describe it. It's like when you looked at athletes throughout history and, you know, it was like, oh, Mike Tyson would show up and he wouldn't just win. He would win in a certain fashion.
Yeah.
He would win in a certain way and he would deliver when he had to and he wore the black trunks and he showed up or like, you know, Muhammad Ali had the mouth and the word, you know, he had so much charisma and all these things and, you know, something that defined who they were. And it's kind of like, I don't know, I've always thought, I look at everything, a lot of things in form of music. Mm-hmm. So like the greatest accomplishment usually for a musician is, yeah, obviously to win an award or Grammy or something like that, but it's to find your sound.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's your sound?
Yes.
And for me, like, I just kind of like, I feel like I naturally fell into it. Like, I looked different. For, I had red hair, so I kind of like leaned into it. I had huge red hair, and then I, you know, and I would show up in a certain manner and certain things. So I don't know. I feel like, you know, greatness can be taken in so many ways, but I really feel like it's just, it's like seeing the same instrument but playing it your way. Mm. Like, you know, taking a sport and doing it just different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's the same thing, but he just did it a little different than everyone else. And I think that's what I strive toward even till this day. It's not so much about like, what trick am I going to do? It's like, what am I going to wear? What am I going to listen to? How is the run going to go down? What would I say? Where's the, you know, there's so much that wraps around it other than just like showing up, doing the tricks and trying to win.
Yeah.
So I really try to like match all of that. But
finding your sound.
Yeah, finding my sound. So I think that's greatness in any way, whether it's sports or it's music or you just finding your own path. I think it comes in many forms. It doesn't have to be in the form of a gold statue or something.
Sure.
It doesn't need to be a trophy of any sort. So,
right. Yeah. Love it, man. Sean, thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and it inspired you on your journey towards greatness. Make sure to check out the show notes in the description for a full rundown of today's show with all the important links. And also make sure to share this with a friend and subscribe over on Apple Podcasts as well. I really love hearing feedback from you guys, so share a review over on Apple and let me know what part of this episode resonated with you the most. And if no one's told you lately, I want to remind you that you are loved, you are worthy, and you matter. And now it's time to go out there and do something great.
At Metro, get an iPhone 12 with 5G and a dual camera system for $99.99. Take amazing pictures and share them instantly. And don't put up with life's yada yada.
Yada yada.
Like photo bombers. Zoom, crop out,
yada yada,
and bye.
You don't take yada yada in life, don't take yada yada from your wireless provider. Get iPhone 12 with 5G with no activation fees and nada yada yada. Only at Metro by T-Mobile. Switch Metro, bring your ID. This offer isn't available for customers currently at T-Mobile or that have been with Metro in the past 180 days.